Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Monday, May 6th, Pope Francis meets the new recruits to the Swiss Guard. He thanks them and encourages them in their generous and diligent service. And Panama has a new president. In the Vatican, I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov. Turning to our top story, Pope Francis received an audience, the Swiss Guards, and on Monday, as 34 new recruits prepare for the traditional swearing-in ceremony, which takes place every year on May 6th. The day marks the anniversary of the heroic sacrifice of 147 Swiss Guards who died while defending Pope Clement VII during the sack of Rome in 1527. In his address, Pope Francis urged them to cultivate community life in their service. Lisa Zingarini reports.
Saluto il comandante, gli ufficiali e tutti i membri della Guardia Svizzera Pontificia.
Extending his greetings to the commander and chaplain of the Swiss Guards, Pope Francis renewed his gratitude to the military corps for its presence in the Vatican and for its service, which he said is always generous and diligent, noting the strong camaraderie of the Swiss Guards, which incentivizes their motivation. Pope Francis highlighted the crucial importance of relationships for all Christians.
Le buone relazioni sono una strada maestra per la nostra crescita e maturazione umana e cristiana.
Good relationships are the main path of our human and Christian growth and maturation, he said, recalling that much of what characterizes our personality we have learned through relationships with parents, brothers and sisters, schoolmates, teachers, friends and work colleagues. This is why, the Pope stressed, their 2 years of service in the Swiss Guard is such an important and formative time for them.
Vi esorto a coltivare attivamente la vita comunitaria.
Concluding, Pope Francis further urged the new recruits to cultivate community life rather than isolate themselves in front of a computer or a smartphone, as young people often do today. It is better to use free time for moments of fraternity in which to talk and share, the Pope said. The swearing-in ceremony of the new Swiss Guards is set to take place this evening in the St. Damasus courtyard in the Vatican. Of the 34 new recruits, 16 are German-speaking, 16 French-speaking, and 2 Italian-speaking. Before meeting Pope Francis, the Swiss Guards and their families attended a mass presided over early this morning by Cardinal Secretary of State Pietro Parolin in St. Peter's Basilica. I am Lisa Zingarini.
Also today, Pope Francis received the President of the Republic of Albania in the Vatican, at which time they recalled the harsh religious persecution of Christians under communism and the protection offered by the Albanian people to Jewish people. Following his meeting with the Pope, the President met with the Vatican Secretary of State, Cardinal Pietro Parolin, accompanied by the Vatican Secretary for Relations with States and International Organizations, Archbishop Paul Richard Gallagher. According to a statement issued by the Holy See Press Office, the discussions were cordial, expressing appreciation for the positive bilateral relations and mentioning some open questions in the relations between church and state. Attention, the communique noted, then turned to Albania's path to membership of the European Union and various international issues, with a focus on the Western Balkans region and the conflict in the Middle East and Ukraine. At the end of the audience, there was the traditional exchange of gifts between the leaders. Pope Francis had made an apostolic journey to Albania's capital of Tirana on the 21st of September in 2014. Turning to other Vatican news, in a message of greetings to Buddhists who are celebrating Vesak, the most sacred of festivals for millions of Buddhists around the world, Cardinal Ayuso underscored the shared responsibility of Christians and Buddhists in fostering peace, reconciliation, and resilience. The prefect of the Dicastery for Interreligious Dialogue reflected on how the teachings of both traditions highlight the need for collaborative efforts in healing the wounds of humanity. Linda Bordoni reports.
In a world wounded by escalating conflicts, Cardinal Ayuso delivered a message of goodwill to Buddhists who are celebrating Vesak and emphasized the joint responsibility of Christians and Buddhists to pursue peace. Quoting Pope St. Paul VI's timeless plea Never Again War, the Cardinal called for a deeper reflection on overcoming obstacles to peace and strengthening our commitment to reconciliation and resilience. Highlighting the necessity of addressing underlying causes of conflicts, Cardinal Ayuso emphasized equity and justice in all spheres of life. He drew upon Desmond Tutu's wisdom on true reconciliation, stressing the need to confront the truth rather than to ignore it. Cardinal Ayuso also underscored how the teachings of both traditions advocate for reconciliation, emphasizing that forgiveness and healing lead to restored harmony and strength amid adversity. He referenced Buddha's teaching on the futility of hatred and St. Paul's exhortation to embrace reconciliation in Christ. As Buddhists across the world commemorate the most sacred of their festivals, the prefect of the Dicastery for Interreligious Dialogue invoked the wisdom of spiritual figures like Venerable Maha Gosanda and Pope Francis, both of whom call for reparation and reconciliation to overcome fear. He highlighted Pope Francis's call in Fratelli Tutti to cultivate a penitential memory for a peaceful future. In conclusion, Cardinal Ayuso's message was a call to Christians and Buddhists to rediscover and cherish these values, honour spiritual figures who embodied them, and unite in pursuit of peace. I'm Linda Bordoni.
In other international headlines, we return next to the war in the Holy Land. As the humanitarian crisis continues to worsen day by day, the Israeli army has told Palestinians to evacuate parts of Rafah. Nathan Morley reports.
The Israeli military is urging people in the southern Gaza city of Rafah to move towards an expanded humanitarian zone ahead of an expected offensive on the city. Overnight, the Israeli military dropped leaflets in the eastern area of Rafah, calling on civilians to leave ahead of a planned operation. The IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, said that evacuees will be directed to tent cities near Khan Yunis and Al-Mawasi, where food and water would be available. Israel's defense minister said military action against Hamas in Rafah was needed, but there is widespread international concern over the fate of a million civilians sheltering there. Families of Israeli hostages in Gaza are also worried. Gil Dikmas's cousin is being held.
Now, unfortunately, we're very much afraid as families of hostages about what's going to happen. We're very much afraid that the IDF entering Rafah will risk the lives not only of innocent people, not only of soldiers, but also of some hostages who might be risked because of the attack on Rafah.
Meanwhile, Israeli strikes in Rafah reportedly killed at least 12 people overnight, whilst three Israeli soldiers were killed in a Hamas rocket attack near the Karim Shalom crossing. All of this comes after a weekend of talks aimed at securing a ceasefire deal in Gaza and the release of hostages. The talks, though, failed to yield any results. Meanwhile, the Jordanian armed forces said on Sunday that it had carried out 5 airdrops of humanitarian and food aid targeting several locations in the northern Gaza Strip. The airdrops included relief and humanitarian aid to support the people in Gaza, according to the state-run Petra news agency. The operation involved aircraft from the Royal Jordanian Air Force, Egypt, the United States and Germany. Meanwhile, Hezbollah says it's launched 24 rockets at an Israeli base in the occupied Golan Heights. The Iran-backed militant group said it was in response to Israeli strikes in Lebanon. According to reports, nobody was hurt. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
Turning to Latin America, with most of the votes counted and verified, José Raúl Malino has won Panama's presidential election. James Blair says the story.
A high 77% turnout of Panama's 3 million voters, and with more than 90% of the vote in, 64-year-old José Raúl Molino, former security minister who also served as justice minister and foreign secretary, has won with an unassailable lead. His three main rivals have already conceded defeat and are pledging to work for a united, smooth transition. He'll be inaugurated president and prime minister on July 1st after this one and only first-round contest process, which is now completed. The Supreme Court only ruled on Friday that he was eligible to take part. Molino of the Achieving Goals Party was running to be vice president, but now the top job is his. Ex-president Ricardo Martinelli, who ran the country between 2009 and 2014, was the original candidate, but banned after last year being convicted of money laundering. Concerning the task ahead, he said, "This is the greatest responsibility which falls upon my shoulders to lead the destiny of Panama." Although the economy is strong, it remains static. There have been anti-government demonstrations, public debt is high, and the pension system needs sorting out. There are promises to tackle corruption. Molino will need to work with a legislature which was up for election on the same day. Complex and multi-economic and political challenges now face him. For Vatican Radio, James Blair's reporting.
And in Africa, presidential elections are taking place on Monday in Chad, 3 years after the military took power when longtime leader Idriss Deby was killed while leading troops against rebel forces. Christopher Wells has the story.
The people of Chad are set to vote today in presidential elections, with the country set to become the first of a group of junta-led countries in the Sahel region of Africa to transition back to democracy. Chad's military seized power in April 2021 when rebels killed long-term leader Idriss Deby. His son, Mohamed Idriss Deby, is widely expected to win Monday's contest, although he faces a challenge from former Prime Minister Success Masra and seven other candidates. Some opposition groups and leaders in civil society have called for a boycott of the vote, fearing a lack of transparency and possible vote rigging. Chad's bishops, in a statement issued after their ordinary session in April, have called on the transitional government to do everything possible to guarantee the smooth running and success of the polls by promoting the free expression of each citizen's choice in compliance with the electoral code and the transparency of the results of the votes cast in the ballot boxes. Polls opened Monday morning at 7 a.m. and are set to close at 5 p.m. local time, with results expected within 2 weeks. If no candidate wins 50% of the vote, there will be a runoff election on June 22nd. Soldiers in the country began early voting on Saturday. The Sahel region is a semi-arid region immediately south of the Sahara, stretching across the whole of Africa from west to east. The region has been severely impacted by political instability and jihadism, with several countries, including Mali, Burkina Faso, and Niger, currently being run by military juntas. The area is regularly struck by droughts and subject to increasing desertification, both severely impacted by climate change. The people of the Sahel also face frequent shortages of food and water due to the semi-arid climate and widespread government corruption. I'm Christopher Wells.
Well, that concludes this edition of Vatican and World News. Please stay with us for tonight's swearing-in ceremony of the new Swiss Guards, which will be broadcast live on Vatican Media. And we do invite you to listen in via our website, Facebook page, and YouTube account. We also ask you to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va and follow our social platforms. Many thanks also go to our sound engineer in the studio in the Vatican. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.